What's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frogcast coming at you not live from the Frog Quarters in San Francisco and through the internet. We are the podcast that really has our finger in the butt of the zeitgeist. And, you know, this week we got a little different look for you guys. Different defense than we usually go with. You know, Brett and Brendan, they're wage slaves now. They both got new jobs. Who knows when they can even make it in. Hopefully once they're...
What about the tall homeless guy, though?
Once they pledge. Once they finish their pledge period. I think this is Hell Week. And after Hell Week, they're going to be back to being regular. But we couldn't get it together this week. I don't know what Matt Lieb's deal was. I don't know. Who knows with that guy?
Wow. Okay. There hasn't been like a falling out or anything, though.
No. He had some work to do. I don't know what that means because I don't know what kind of work that Matt Lieb does, but...
I believe that involves sucking off hobos in the back lots.
Yeah. And that beautiful voice that you hear, ladies and gentlemen, is Laramie Legal.
Well, hello, everyone.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, if anyone knows how to manage audience disappointment, it's Laramie.
It's this guy. Yeah. It's this guy right here. I'm really excited to be nominated to co-pilot of the podcast. That's a big moment for me.
Yeah. You know, actually, I'd been thinking about doing like a split off podcast where I get movie people and then we do like a Skype thing where we actually talk about movies and stuff. And then, you know, have the regular podcast also where we, you know, we try to get Matt Lieb to sing Uptown Girl.
And you need to Marc Maron me. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
Like go deep into your whole deal. Yeah. So how did it make you feel when you lost feeling in your face?
Pretty erect. Yeah.
See, that's why I can't Maron with you, because you don't, you know.
I gotta give you more.
Well, you're not a very honest. You never really get real with us.
On one hand, I was mad at my face. There was definitely a sense of anger that my face would no longer work, and a little bit incredulous about the whole thing as well. I have to say. Because it doesn't make sense that your face wouldn't work.
Right. That's one thing that you take for granted when you wake up in the morning.
It doesn't make logical sense even. Like, what would make your face stop working? Mm-hmm. Like, in your body, you know?
So were you just drinking and then, like, part of it was going on the floor? Or how did that work?
I was talking to my little brother and it just stopped working. I smiled and it just froze, kind of.
Like, in the middle of a conversation?
Yeah, it just drooped.
Interesting. And he's like, hey, what's up with your face?
No, he doesn't really notice my face, but I called my wife, and I was like, hon, my face stopped working, and she got a little worried then.
Yeah.
And then I called my brother, who's a doctor, and he's like, you need to go to the ER, buddy.
Your other brother, Daryl?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was in Florida, so I was like, can it wait a week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because Florida ERs are kind of, well, you know Bernsey, right?
Right.
Yeah, same thing.
I just assume like a lot of gator bites. Someone has burned an arm in a meth lab fire.
Yeah, a lot of that. A lot of Burmese python.
Right.
Hanging around people.
Machete wounds.
Cocaine nose jobs, as they call them.
Yeah, so did you end up going to the ER in Florida?
I did, and they knew it was the palsy immediately, to their credit.
Mm-hmm. And were they just sort of like nonchalant about the whole thing? Like, oh yeah, you got Bell's palsy.
They were rather laissez-faire about it. Yeah. The nurse diagnosed me. The man nurse diagnosed me, walked by. He's like, you got Bell's palsy. And then he walked away. And then I had to rapidly Google what Bell's palsy meant. And like, if that meant I had 2 weeks to live or, you know. Because you don't know what that is, like off the top of your head. Like now you know. But if I had told you 2 years ago, right, you wouldn't know.
No, I think I did know what Bell's palsy was. I think I knew someone that had it.
Who else?
I think my friend's grandfather, when I was in elementary school, had it.
Only grandpas get it. Okay.
He also went to Gathering of the Juggalos, which is weird.
That is a weird coincidence.
Yeah.
Strange.
So did they give you the rundown? Like, hey, you're going to be all right in a little bit, but it might be weird.
Yeah,
for
they
a while.
Basically are like, we don't know really what causes it. Here's a prescription for some steroids and a bill for $600. And they patted me on the fanny and, you know, sent me on my little way.
Oh, don't let the door hit you on your working butt cheek on the way out.
And it was one of those deals like, yeah, it might take 3 months, might take 2 years, could stay forever. Sometimes comes back, sometimes doesn't. Yeah. So basically, you know nothing, right?
That's one of those fun ones where they're like, well, you know, we just throw up our hands on this one. There's no telethon for you. We stopped trying to cure this a long time ago.
It's just one of those things, you know? As long as Scarlett Johansson doesn't get it, we're not going to dedicate a lot of research to it. So, you know, deal with it, kid.
Yeah.
But I've got, you know, almost full motion back.
That's cool.
Maybe a centimeter off.
Did your wife give you the whole speech where she sat you down? She's like, Laramie, you know I didn't marry you for your face.
She was like, why don't you smile at me anymore? Honey, I love you. That's me slurping.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that comes through really good on Skype.
I knew it would. You said it was like I was right next to you, Vince.
Well, sort of. Look, the microphone is not perfect. What have I been up to? Well, I just got back from Montana, where I was all weekend.
Okay, what were you doing there?
Pretty sweet deal, this whole Up Rocks Life thing that they got going. Sometimes people are just like, hey, you want to come out to this resort and just hang out there and maybe write about it afterwards? And I said, yeah, I do. That sounds great.
And so, are you allowed to say the resort?
Yeah, it's Paws Up, the resort at Paws Up outside Missoula. Apparently, Tobey Maguire and Leonardo DiCaprio were there for Tobey Maguire's 40th birthday recently.
Huh.
Yeah, you go out there. It's sort of like City Slickers meets Jurassic Park. They give you a little green Kia to drive around in, and it's like a big farm that you can. And then there's like a, you know, obviously a freaking restaurant and stuff. And then you get to, you can go do ATVs. You can shoot guns. It's basically, you can go floating on the river. It's basically like a weekend where I grew up in Reedley, but for rich people.
And will the writing be this good about this topic, like the speech just was?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna hopefully go a little more in depth than that.
Flesh it out a little bit.
Yeah. Now, at one point, so I was on I think the funnest part was the ATV trip, because I don't know, I'm not one for hiking very much. It's like, I like nature, but walking seems like a slow way to experience that. You know what I mean? I get a little impatient.
Walking's horrible.
Right. Walking. So I like nature, but I don't like to walk. Is there a way to, is there a way to speed this up? Turns out ATVs, a great way to speed that up. Also, same thing with camping. I'm kind of like, you know, I want
to
be out there, but
to glamp. That's what you want to do.
Well, that's what it is. It's a place where people go glamping.
Oh, you bring a chef and everything. And
yeah, they have there's shirts in the gift shop that say, I heart my camping butler, which tells you what kind of place it is.
And you got your Sherpa carrying your bags for you and stuff as you frolic around.
There's like camps that have tents, and they're technically tents, but they also have like a bathroom with heated tiles and like a copper tub in it.
So what would this have set me back if I wanted to go do this myself?
I think the cabin that we stayed in, which was one of the bigger ones, was $3,000 to $4,000 a night, I believe.
Shut up.
Yeah. It's not cheap.
Wow. No. But wow.
You get you get your own Kia that you can drive around the ranch drunk, by the
That's
way.
Your
like
ATV,
I definitely drove that thing around. Well, I don't know. Is this incriminating that people, the Montana authorities are not listening to this, right?
They didn't get this far. No, they heard me and they clicked off.
Right. No, you can just drive around this little Kia around the dirt roads. And dirt roads are awesome, by the way. Winding dirt roads, cuz you know what that means. Fucking drift racing, bro. That's what that's
Tokyo
for.
Tokyo style.
Yeah, it was fun. So that was great. And then so we went on this ATV trip, and it was me and then like the group leader and this German couple. And like, if they could get an award for the most German, they would have locked that right up. I mean, it was like, they're like a little older, like in their 60s. And like, my favorite two stereotypes about Germans is, and people
humorless.
Well, yeah, there's that. Okay. But just visually, like, I always say you can spot a German for some reason. And
okay.
I think it's because, or at least a German tourist. German tourists have a tendency, they're sort of dressed like preppy in like colors that are a little too bright for the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's usually a lot of Teva sandals. I don't know what it is about Germany and Teva sandals. So it's a husband and wife, and the man is wearing a pink plaid cowboy shirt, you know, because it's a cowboy ranch.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Right. And then the wife has got, she's got her denim cowboy shirt, and sure enough, rocking the Teva sandals.
Both of them rock it, or just her?
No, just her.
Okay.
And then, so then we're on the ATV. It's like a 3-hour ATV tour. which sounds like it'd be long, but I don't know about you, but I can peel out on an ATV and pretend I'm in a rally race for a long time, it turns out.
For days, yeah.
Yeah, for some reason, like, I don't want to walk for 45 minutes because I'll be bored, but I'll take that ATV and just wreck nature for, like, 10 hours at a time.
Was this an Uproxx event?
No, they pitched us, and we said, sure. And then,
jeez, they sent it to you?
And I said, hell yeah. So, I'm on this ATV tour, and it's funny because, like, the group leader, like, I'm sure she's trying not to get people killed. And I don't know if you've ever been on an ATV, but it's just like this, it's like the most dangerous thing in the world. We're like I'm just taking this thing and we're going like 30, 40 miles an hour. And I'm just sort of like drifting it anytime that there's like loose gravel. I'm trying to see how much I can fishtail the thing. and then there's like tracks through the woods where you're going down through like a rocky path in between trees and stuff. Just like the most dangerous thing you could imagine. And so there's the group leader who's this college girl age probably from Missoula, and she sort of goes at like a sort of steady slow pace to be like the pace car basically. And so what I have to do is I have to let her get like far enough ahead where I can like still see her, but then I can, you know, do like a crazy, you know, I can floor it and try to do like a rally race, you know, fishtailing fun times.
So you can't pass her then?
No, I'm not supposed to. Yeah, I'm not supposed to pass her. And then I got the Germans behind me, and so like the leader, I can tell she's just sort of looking back and she's seeing me just sort of like peeling out everywhere and like trying to do donuts or whatever, like going nuts. And I'm sure she's like, you know, she probably should say something or wants to say something, but she just knows the kind of place that she works and. I'm sure she's used to it. She's kind of like, well, yeah, this is going to happen.
You're also James Uproxx the third.
Yeah, mean. Exactly. Reginald Uproxx is going to pay for this ATV should I crash it. And so I'm trying to ride this thing hard and put it away wet. And I'm and I'm behind the group leader. And so every once in a while, like, we'll come to
let's call her Leader One, by
leader
the way.
Leader One. Yeah. Ready Player. I think her name was Sarah. Her name was Sarah. So every once in a while. Leader One Sarah, she'll come to like a gate or something and she'll make the group stop so we can all, you know, reconnoiter, make sure everyone's still alive. And at one, I pull up, and usually we have to wait a little bit for the Germans because like they're kind of out for an evening stroll on their ATVs, which is weird because they got the Autobahn over there. You'd think they'd be a little
bit. That is odd. Yeah, you'd think you'd want to push it a little bit.
Yeah, so this one, she pulls to a stop and we're waiting. We're waiting, and it's been like 10 minutes, you know?
So you got to be like, they're dead. Let's
like,
move on.
She's like, we got to turn around and see what's going on. So we turn around. It turns out that the German lady, she like crashed her ATV into a tree. Somehow she didn't hurt herself in the process of this. Like, I mean, and it was easy. Like, there's trees like right next to the path. It was not hard to like run your shit into a tree. And somehow she's like slammed the tail end of her ATV into one of these trees at full speed and broke one of the axles off.
Yes.
Yeah. And
you're thinking, you know what? I'll go get help. Hold on.
Yeah, right. So then Leader One Sarah, she's like, oh my God, this is my first accident. And in my head, I'm thinking, number one, bullshit. There's no way. And then of course she's like, if anyone was going to crash on this trip, it would have been you. And I was like,
and you're like, hey, if you want the D, just say you want the D. Don't cover it in all these terms.
Yeah. So then the Germans have to share an ATV all the way back. And then, and it was funny because right before that happened, I'd been driving along and it was like on a dirt road and it was next to like a pasture with a barbed wire fence, and next to this pasture while I'm on the ATV is just an ATV that's turned sideways and has crashed halfway through the barbed wire fence. and not only that, there was like four ATVs like right next to it. So not only like had someone clearly like flipped this ATV and crashed it, they must have gotten hurt, because why else would all the ATVs be just like left there at the same, you know what I mean,
as they lay flighted the person out,
basically. Yeah, like everybody, oh, they must be on the helicopter out of there,
or maybe it was like ATV Stonehenge.
Yeah, I don't know. So then, yeah, so that happened, and then right after that, the German lady crashed, and then Sarah, who's supposedly been working there for 2 years, she's like, oh, this is my first crash.
Today?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's real.
I wonder how you pull ATV duty. Is that like a good duty or a bad duty when you're working the ranch?
That's a great question. I mean, for me, I think it was really fun, but if I was the leader and I just sort of had to go like at a steady 15 miles an hour the entire time while people behind me are just pulling donuts and crashing into trees, it might be kind of a bad deal.
Well, I tell you what, if we would have gotten video of that German lady crashed into a tree, you would have been able to retire. That would have made a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. I have a picture of her busted axle.
Nice.
And then and then on the way out, I saw, first of all, I don't know how they got the broken ATV out of the woods, because somehow they got the ATV like out of the woods and next to the main ranch road. And then as I was leaving, I saw they had a giant forklift that they had to bring in to like lift up the ATV on to take it somewhere to get fixed. And it was very Mad Max, you know, like this giant robot thing carrying the crushed vehicle.
Well, they need to make a forklift ATV is what they need to do.
Yeah.
And then you just drive that thing out there.
Good old 2-in-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you got the right idea.
So did you go with someone, or are you allowed to say anything?
No,
else?
I was by myself. I mean, they put me with like a couple other journalists.
Oh, okay. Any other outlets you can talk about, or?
The girl that was there worked for a couple. I think one of them was Huffington Post.
The HuffPo.
Yeah, but I think she worked for a couple travel magazines too.
Now, you were telling me offline that she put out like a banshee.
Yeah, definitely. No. She was there with her boyfriend, who was nice.
Okay. You were telling me earlier he put out like a banshee.
Like a banshee. Well, I really only have one simile that I go to.
That's banshee.
I go to it a lot. It's weird. No,
nice deal, though.
Not a lot of nightlife at the Paws Up Resort, unfortunately.
Are you saying like paws up, like kick up your heels, but paws?
Yeah, paws. Like with your,
why would they name it that?
I don't know.
They don't want people to visit, probably.
I'm not sure. All I know is there was not single girl one there.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a shame.
I know.
Yeah.
So, Lair Bear,
sir,
we have some hashtag content we got to get through, you know.
Oh, I enjoy content.
I do too. Everybody likes content. That's one of the main tenets of our hashtag brand, is how much hashtag content that we have.
You want to have your takes and you want to have your content.
Exactly. You need both. It's the silly season. It's the doldrums of the movie.
It is.
The movie releasing world. What have you seen lately?
I mean, not a whole lot, brah. I've seen the Straight Outta Comptons.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's it? That's all you got?
Yeah, you think I'm losing my touch, you're saying?
Yeah.
I thought it was more like a nostalgic look into the past for me, right? Mm-hmm. As much as like a rap film or a film about like Compton can be for a kid from Boca. Right. But like all these things of like cultural significance would happen. You'd be like, hey, that's Snoop Dogg. Or, you know, like, hey, yeah, that's Tupac. And like all those moments kind of added up to an enjoyable time for me, I guess. Like I grew up listening to music, so.
Yeah.
And I didn't necessarily understand how intertwined everything was. You know, like I grasped that people rap together or whatever, but I didn't like think of them hanging out and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
they were a crew, man. They were a group.
Yeah, they were down. I wasn't sure. I read a little bit more about Paul Giamatti's character after, and it sounds like he was both maligned and treated too kindly somehow.
Right.
Some weird way. Like, he had all kinds of shenanigans going on, it sounded like. But
I was surprised at how kind of fair they were to Jerry Heller. I mean, they sort of left it ambiguous of, like, did he screw them over or not? I don't think we know still.
It seems like he kind of did.
Yeah.
But he may have been screwing them over for Eazy-E, because, so I read, I think it was on Grantland, I think they went and found him.
Yeah, it was.
Where he was just saying how much he loved Eazy-E and stuff, which is odd. But and then I've seen M.I., Mission Impossible, of course.
Wait, we're still on Straight Outta Compton here.
Rogue Nation. Oh, okay. Go ahead. You have more Compton takes?
Yeah, well, I mean, so I think Ice Cube is a diabolical genius in that, like,
yeah,
everything clearly in that movie, it was just believable enough, but also like perfectly set up to be flattering to Ice Cube.
Plus, he had a son playing, looks just like him,
but who's also 6 inches taller. So he gets to rewrite the history books, but he gets to be like taller and younger in it.
he definitely had all the best like rap moments in the film.
Right. Like they completely gloss over Real Motherfucking G's where Eazy-E's dissing Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. But then they played almost the entire song of No Vaseline. Like they listened to like three verses.
Yeah, they're like sitting there in the living room.
And they were all just blown away about what genius Ice Cube was.
Ice Cube, yeah. And Ice Cube has the big blow-up scene. He gets the break from the band.
Right.
He gets in a fight.
That was another thing. When Lynch Mob and I don't know, was Lynch Mob, that was Ice Cube's crew, right?
Yeah.
So then they fight Eazy-E's crew. And of course, like Ice Cube's just decking everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Even though life, Ice Cube's like 5'6 or something.
He's crazy, though.
He's super crazy.
They made Dre seem like a tertiary character comparatively when you can make the case that without Dre, you don't have any beats.
Right.
Like, Cube could rap. E was from the streets. And Dre had the beats.
Yeah. You need all of those.
And the other two, you know, they were there.
Yellow. Yellow just kind of, they kind of made him seem like he was like a whipping boy or something.
He's like a goober.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the deal with the scene where Ice Cube is just smashing up the record? Like they sort of hinted that this guy gave him a raw deal, but they didn't really tell you. And then just Ice Cube just comes in and smashes up the whole place.
I mean, I think the deal was, he said, you're not going to get paid for this record because I'm an evil music exec. Sean, Sean. And then he twirled his mustache, but you'll get paid for the next one that you're a solo artist on. And then he sold a butt ton of those and didn't give him money for that either. And then he started breaking stuff.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's what it seemed to me.
I would like to see the other version of that film, but I really enjoyed the Ice Cube, the Ice Cube revisionist history version of it too.
I mean, what would you rather see? Like, what should they have done different, I guess?
Well, I mean, they sort of glossed over, Dr. Dre beating up women.
Yeah, they didn't really hit that hard, did they?
No, they really didn't. And then Eazy-E kind of just seemed like he was cool with all of them when...
In fact,
it didn't seem like he was that cool with all of them.
But I guess they were all in his bed in the hospital or something.
Yeah, when he was about to die.
It seemed a little bit like Cube never went in, though, right?
Right. Well, he didn't.
He's like, I'm out.
He didn't. And then the reason they reconciled was because Eazy-E just had to give Ice Cube props for how good his record was.
Yeah, true story.
Yeah.
Guy's killing it.
I love Eazy-E, though. He had the best voice of all.
I don't think I ever got to talk to you about Southpaw.
Yeah.
Did you like Southpaw?
I did kind of like it.
Man, I had some problems with it.
Well, I mean, it's just like the dumb... It's kind of like one of those athletes who says, you know, something that's so cliche and dumb, but he says it with such conviction that you kind of like, you kind of respect him for it. That's what the whole movie of Southpaw was.
I thought the promise of Southpaw was interesting. This idea that, all right...
What, you know, the promise of every white boxer movie ever?
Well, no, not the white boxer thing. Like the athlete who is not necessarily of means prior, let's put it that way, who then finds himself surrounded by hangers-on and people of means and blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's some interesting stuff to be mined there a little bit.
Isn't that every boxer story ever?
No, because like Cinderella Man and Rocky, like they're not a modern tale, right? Like Rocky's not a modern story.
It's like a behind the music twist on slight behind the music twist on the every boxing story.
Coming to grips with your own fortune.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought there was a little Ray Mayweather-ishness there, right? It could have been something.
Yeah, there could have been something that they did with CTE, you know? Where his wife's like, hey, you got to stop getting hit in your head, your stupid head so much.
Instead, they made a version of Annie where the dad couldn't talk. I mean,
right.
So I just found Gyllenhaal to be super annoying, and I kept hoping he would get killed.
Really? Oh, I always liked Jake Gyllenhaal.
He did get in shape. I'll give him that.
Yeah, which is always funny because, like, no matter what you do, movie boxing is not going to look anything like real boxing ever. Like, the less you show of them actually boxing, the better.
Well, what's the best boxing movie then in terms of boxing?
Well, I mean, because Raging Bull doesn't try to like...
Doesn't bother, yeah.
Yeah, like it doesn't bother. Then that's what you should do. Like you can't try and make a boxing movie where people are... You can't try to make it look like real boxing because like the things that make boxing look real are so like minute, you know, like you can't throw a punch and you can't fake a boxing punch. Like everybody's seen it too many times.
Yeah.
It's not like a bar fight where you can throw a big haymaker and like the guy catches it in his fist and like turns the other guy around. It's like, we've all seen a boxing match. We know what it looks like.
I tell you what I popped on the other day on ESPN was the arm wrestling championships. You ever watch any of that?
A little bit.
It's interesting. It's an interesting subculture.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a movie there somewhere. And not Over the Top.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's a great movie, Over the Top. I think we did a podcast about Over the Top once.
Sounds like something that might have happened.
Yeah.
But
sorry, go ahead.
I still feel like arm wrestling, like, I'm not saying it isn't real sport because it's clearly not a real sport, but the weird technique where they have to like wrap your arm and like put you on the things and like there's powder and like, it just seems like the whole thing of arm wrestling is like who can get the leverage quickest.
Right. Well, because when you think about it, that's not, you think it's like, oh, this is arm muscle. No, because it's like if that motion is almost all rotator cuff.
Exactly.
Which is a tiny tendon that everybody has.
Yeah. And so you keep trying to like, I remember like arm wrestling, like, you know, against other people, or whatever, people like try and bend your wrist back or forward or whatever. Right. Like that's how you beat somebody at arm wrestling.
Yeah.
So it's weird to see them try and like codify this thing where we're not going to let that happen. Right. We're going to tie people in and we're going to, but it's like, no, that's all it is.
Like it's like all gamesmanship.
It's that's all the sport. And then like, they're so funny after they win too, they get fired up and stuff. Like, I just won something in 4 seconds. Sweet. Like, it's a weird sport.
And there's that one guy that just has one huge arm. And you're like, how does that even happen? Like, do you just, he's really, I mean, I guess he saves time by not doing curls with the other arm or whatever, but.
I was watching the lefty competition, which I felt like was a little, you know, I'm a rebel.
Yeah.
So I watched the lefties.
Oh, dude, I'm going in fakie on this one.
You're going in fakie? All right. So I saw that.
Southpaw, like, it just reminded me of you know when Sly Stallone's tweeting out like keep punching, and like he tweets out like the dumbest, most cheesy things, but he believes it so hard that it's kind of charming. I kind of felt like that was just Kurt Sutter on Southpaw. Like, he really thought that there really needed to be a movie about a white boxer who overcomes adversity, and you know. And I also like the move where Forrest Whitaker is the trainer, and you know how they just throw one of those completely like unrealistic, pointless obstacles where he's like, yeah, I don't train pro fighters.
Done.
And you're like, and they don't really give an explanation of why he wouldn't train a pro fighter. Like, oh, this guy's just, he only teaches the neighborhood kids. He doesn't want to, not even.
Yeah, he doesn't want to mess with all that stuff.
I don't train pro fighters.
Sorry, bud.
You're like, okay. Well, then what happens?
convince me I'm wrong. Show me something.
Yeah, show me something, kid.
The making the kid die was weird.
Right.
He shouldn't have been able to have his daughter also, like, pretty much a good decision. Guy who can't read, write, or talk and drives drunk with a gun. Like, I can kind of see the state's case in this one, I have to say.
I feel like he would have been able to do that like 4 or 5 more times before the state did anything.
Really? In real life, you mean?
Yeah,
that's all messed up CPS is at this point?
I think so. Also, he just sort of lost his house like one day. Where
yeah,
like,
it was just it.
He's a champion, like, and then his wife dies. Like, oh yeah, you don't have any more money, dog. Sorry.
Well, like, because he was boxing for like 10-15 mil a pop, right?
Yeah.
And he was like 30-0 or something. Like,
hey, it's all gone, dog.
That's that. Huh?
Sorry. Hey, that's it.
Yeah, just the one guy out front, your real friend.
Yeah, no, it's not here. No, it's not here anymore.
Sorry. Where'd it go?
It's gone. It's gone, man. We spent it on the funeral.
But didn't he own the house? Like,
yeah, I mean, sort of. Like, it's complicated, dude.
it's really
bottom
not.
Line, you don't got money anymore.
I mean, I know, like, Vin Baker blew $100 million. So I'm not saying it's not impossible. But usually the catalyst is not the wife dying or whatever. And, like, the next day you're poor. Like,
isn't it ironic that 50 Cent, after declaring bankruptcy, has to play the guy who tells him he doesn't have money anymore?
That is pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't think that 50 Cent was too nice to him.
No. It was a little ambiguous.
Yeah.
All right. So now more content.
Yeah.
Hashtag content.
Okay.
The big story this week is the guy who writes 007 books, who says that Idris Elba is too street to play Bond.
Valid point. British Shakespeare actor, pretty street. Yeah, what do you think of that, bud?
Well, I think it's pretty funny that you're not allowed to say that anymore. Like, I mean, like I could see where he's coming from. He like Idris Elba, but maybe he just sees him as Stringer Bell or whatever.
Oh, you think it's like code for black?
Well, that's the way people took it, I think.
Oh, how do you take it?
Well, here's the quote. Okay. Idris Elba is a terrific actor, but I can think of other black actors who would do it better. He names Adrian Lester, star of Hustle. For me, Idris Elba is a bit too rough to play the part. It's not a color issue. I think he is probably a bit too street for Bond. It's a question of being suave.
Okay. Well, I'm not mad at that.
Right. It's sort of like, all right, well, there's different actors that people see different ways. But then, of course, like there's 20 different think pieces about on Daily Beast. No, Idris Elba is not too street for James Bond.
I think the problem with the argument, though, is that do you consider Daniel Craig suave?
No. He's very...
I think that's...
He's definitely a pug-nosed...
this is my problem. Like, if you're giving me Pierce Brosnan or something, you know.
Yeah.
But look, Daniel Craig...
It's sort of just one guy's... I kind of think we're just doing the thing where we purposely take what he says out of context. Like, I could...
Gotta feed the machine, bro.
I could see how you could say that, oh, yeah, like, he was using street as, like, a, you know, as a code word, as, like, a dog whistle. But if you listen to the full quote, it's like, well, maybe he just sees that actor a certain way and not Bond that way. I don't know.
Couple of fun facts about Adrian Lester. One, less Twitter followers than you. Two,
who's his
bio.
Who is this
his
person?
His bio's world.
Oh, the guy from Hustle? Sorry.
Yeah, his first sentence is a tour de force. I get paid when I'm not myself.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Dude, that's some deep actor shit.
Think about that. Always on a hustle. Yeah, that's true.
All right. You want me to read you some of the Daily Beast problematic piece about this?
Yes. Hit me.
Today in What Kind of Fuckery Is This? The author of an upcoming James Bond book.
Outrage!
She's really easy. I mean, she's telegraphing her shot right there. Anthony Horowitz came under fire for shooting down the possibility of fan favorite Idris Elba of Bond, saying Elba was, quote, too street to play the super spy. Horowitz has since apologized, saying street was on his mind because of Elba's portrayal of the title character in Luther. But.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you get better get ready. Even if it's only Luther and not Idris Elba who is street in Horowitz's eyes, that criticism is a particularly strange choice for Horowitz, given Bond's origins, the success of the current Bond as played by Daniel Craig, and Elba's popularity among Bond fans of all stripes, including actress Jessica Chastain, who tweeted today to show her support. That's a weird name drop. That's kind of like when a politician's like, you know, I was talking to little Susie McAllister down by the mill, and she's telling me that she's having trouble. She works 70 hours a week, and she's having trouble feeding her kids.
Yep, who also have leukemia.
Right. Also, superstar Jessica Chastain thinks that he would make a great Bond, so obviously.
Good enough for me.
James Bond is one of the most malleable characters in Western pop culture. That you can even call Anthony Horowitz a James Bond author is a sign of how much the character bends to the prevailing wind. Bond, blah, 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 blah. Imagination is at the heart of this issue because Bond is a fantasy of masculinity, and so his shape shifts depending on whose fantasy he is representing. Jesus Christ, it's just like blah, 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 blah.
He doesn't really shapeshift, though. He's pretty much always a guy about 6 foot,
right?
Usually brown hair. They did switch that up, admittedly, recently.
How about this? I don't give a shit about James Bond anymore.
He's never a 5'2 Hispanic guy, though. I'll tell you that.
I would love to see Michael Peña as James Bond.
Dude, I would pay $100 to see that movie. What please.
Up? Hey, what up, dude? I'm James Bond. Yeah, James Bond.
I have content for you at some point, whenever you want it.
Okay, but we're still talking about this, okay?
Okay. Where are you from, sir?
You don't throw the content in the trash before the meat's done, before you got all the meat off the bone.
The marrow we're sucking on now, I see. Okay.
All right, but here's my...
Anything else from superstar Jessica Chastain that you can tell me?
Hey, I have a premise for you.
I'm ready.
I don't really give a shit about James Bond because Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and The Man from U.N.C.L.E. were both better than any of like the last five Bond movies. At least.
I did like Rogue Nation quite a bit.
Did you see Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
No, should I make time for that?
I can't remember the last time I saw a Bond movie that was as good as that. I think that was a better Bond movie than like maybe anything going back to like, you know, GoldenEye. But even that was kind of like fun and in a silly sort of way.
But why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because the problem with James Bond is they keep thinking that we care about a fan service, like all the callbacks to Moneypenny and this Q. And I'm like, I don't give a shit about any of those people.
Don't you like recognizing things that you know?
I so do. Like when I
don't even, because then you can go like, hold on, wait a beat. That is Stan Lee.
Yeah, like when I'm at a Billy Joel concert and he changes the lyrics to one of his songs to say the highway that's near my house. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
So stoked.
Yeah, but I'm keeping the faith.
Don't care about fan service. And I also, they think that we care about like the political motivations behind it, like the sort of greater national security issues, which I don't. Mm-hmm.
You don't.
No, I don't. No, like the same thing with Bourne, where it's just sort of like it's kind of like a weird Fox News commercial in between the action stuff.
You spit on the flag.
Yeah, exactly. Very.
The colors do run.
Anti-Semitic. Mm. No, I don't know. First of all, I like the fact that it was a period piece. I would much rather see like goofy spy stuff in the days of goofy spies. Like, I'd less rather see Bond do Torn from the Headline stuff than I would see him do Cold War stuff, because that's way more fun.
It seems like you don't even remember the scene in Casino Royale where they explain what a tell is.
Right. I think I remember it from Rounders.
That shit was revolutionary.
I did like, I haven't seen Casino Royale in a while, but I did like that one.
I did too.
Yeah. That was a good one. Sorry, what content did you have?
Card playing soy scenes were very good. That's all.
Did they have a scene where he plays chess against the bad guy? That's classic.
Against death.
Right.
Article, I'm going to get you into sports if it's all right.
Oh, I guess.
Most overrated and underrated players from hashtag NFL rank. You know what this is?
NFL rank? I mean, that sounds like a very above board site that is definitely not doing search engine optimization.
ESPN came out with a column of the top 100 NFL players, which allowed them to argue amongst themselves who the top 100 NFL players were.
Oh, God, this is like the perfect sports talking head wet dream. It's like, oh, you mean there's no answer and we can just yell at each other? Oh, awesome.
So this article is the most underrated and overrated from the NFL ranking, which itself was put out yesterday by the same website.
Oh boy.
This one's by Aaron Schatz. Guess I'll just throw out some names and you tell me overrated or underrated.
Aaron Schatz?
No, he's the writer. Schatz.
Oh,
Schatz,
okay. All right.
Adrian Peterson, number 11. Where'd you have him?
Oh, I mean, for me, he's definitely a 36, and anyone who has him above that is a fool.
Peterson was incredible in 2012. No one can argue with that. He was pretty darn good in 2013 as well. But now it's 2 years later, and Peterson is 30. They say Father Time is undefeated, and there's nobody he picks on more than running backs.
So does that...
he's overrated.
Oh, they think he's overrated? I mean, I'll go with that.
Okay.
I think we underrate Adrian Peterson as a child beater.
Cornerback Joe Hayden, number 42. Yay or nay? Where do you come down on that one?
did he play for the Buffalo Sabres?
You realize hundreds of hours went into this article, right?
No, he was,
because they actually give them grades too, like
he was a Boston Warrior, right? Was he part of the '06 Boston Warriors? Played the wishbone.
If you can come within 15 spots of where they rated offensive tackle Andrew Whitworth, don't Google, don't do anything. Come within 15 spots, I'll give you $100.
Andrew Whitworth, and they said there's 100 of them?
Yep.
Let's go 62.
Oh, you were so close. It was 80.
Oh!
You almost made $100.
Oh, man.
I had him on my board. He was 77, but yeah, they've got him 80.
Do they think he was overrated or underrated?
They had him as underrated. as they had Josh Sitton, number 92, the guard.
Should have been there.
Who's Josh Sitton played for, by the way? You want to take a crack at that?
The Minneapolis
Dingle. I'd like to be four teams.
The Minneapolis Jungle Fox.
He plays for Green Bay, which honestly I didn't know until I clicked on him, obviously. Yeah, they ranked the top 100 players by numerical value. It wasn't just here's number one. It was like...
God knows he doesn't fit into my collection of offensive guard bobbleheads that I keep in my car.
Well, you only have the top 20, right?
Is he a pulling guard or is he a... what's the other kind of guard there is?
Road grader?
A chillin' guard?
This is pretty great. Just these opening sentences are amazing. Every year, in conjunction with the release of the hashtag NFL rank rollout on ESPN.com, Football Outsiders has provided an audit of the list. Once again this year, we're pointing out players in the top 100 we feel were particularly overrated or underrated by the ESPN voters. Remember, of course, that overrated does not mean bad. A player might be overrated because he's one of the 40 or 50 players in the NFL, but not one of the top dozen.
Do you know how much football I would have to watch to feel like I even had the authority enough to make a decision on that?
I play...
Like, you couldn't watch enough football in a lifetime to feel like you had the authority to make that call.
Any skin in the game, period. No. Anything they're saying. Yeah, because you don't look at it and go, my guy's 67, not 62? What the hell? Yeah.
He's the no human. He's the best guard that they ever had.
No one does that. That does not happen. And the fact that someone's auditing, Football Outsiders auditing the rankings of NFL rank from ESPN is incredible.
That's beautiful.
I'll give you another test, then we can move on to whatever content you have.
Okay.
If you can get within, I'm going to say, because you got pretty close last time, 9 points of what they ranked the 39th best player in the league, Randall Cobb, 100 pounds.
Wait, say that again?
So they ranked, this is amazing. They ranked every player from 1 to 100 points to 2 decimals as well.
Okay.
I'll tell you the number one player in the league, J.J. Watt, his ranking is 98.87.
Okay, what? What fucking kind of math is this?
I'll give you number two as well.
Okay.
Because I think you'll see where we're going. Andrew Rogers, number two, 98.34.
So that it's like a percentile?
Yeah.
So like Aaron Rodgers is in the 98th percentile of being good at football?
Or it's a guess or a... yeah.
There's a lot of dubious math going on there.
So we have Randall Cobb. What's his little ranking?
Is that Randall Tex Cobb or Randall Ty Cobb?
Randall Cornanda.
Okay, Randall Cornanda. Where do I have him? You said he was 39th best?
Yep.
So I'm going to say he's in the 82nd percentile.
Boy, that's very good. He was 85.93. Woohoo!
Yeah, I know my football, kids. You see that?
This is the stupidest article ever.
Yeah, okay. So while we're on the subject of football and J.J. Watt, have you been watching Hard Knocks?
Yes.
So, first of all, do you think that J.J. Watt is like just on the verge of a like Fox News-style troll break in the near future?
Like what? Like Jared Fogle style, or what are we talking
about? No, like I think he's going to go full white supremacist at a certain point.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, not really, but he just seems like... He seems like he has the personality of that guy without being that guy.
He is stronger than two bears put together.
Right.
He throws 1,000-pound tires around four kicks.
Mm-hmm.
And they have stuck him on a team that is so clearly horrible that he is out there practicing at 10 o'clock at night. Well, no one else is there but him and the fans.
Are you saying that Hoyer is not elite?
The coaches are gone. The players are gone. Nobody's there except JJ, some lights, some ball boys, and 10,000 fans.
Is it the team's fault, the team being bad's fault? Is that why the show has gotten so boring? Because the show has gotten dull.
I think Bill O'Brien is next level terrible at coaching.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the pet theories that Bill Belichick puts out idiot assistants he had to other teams to destroy them.
Aren't like at least 3/4 of the football teams being coached by like people that Bill Belichick coached?
And they're terrible too. You got
and the quarterbacks too. Like they'll hire anybody that played backup for Brady. Like they'll throw him in as a starter.
They don't seem to grasp that he lets his assistants order pizza.
Right.
Like that's the sum total of their duties while they're with the Pats. Yeah, sad.
And I feel like they used to focus on some interesting guys that were on the cusp of making the team, and that's just sort of gone now.
The rookies are going to get cut, you mean?
Yeah.
I'm always shocked by how little process goes into football, right?
Really?
Like,
in what way?
Like they're just sitting around, legs kicked up, chatting about guys. Like, we should try to get him next year. Uh-huh.
I mean, there's so much data. It's just like, I mean, there's not a lot of data that tells you how good, you know, an offensive tackle is or like.
But I guess like, they're always yelling at people, but like, you got to try harder, right? But it's always offense versus defense. So someone's going to win that and someone's going to lose, right? Right. Low man wins. So you're always going to have someone to yell at and someone to say you're doing well. Mm-hmm. Like, don't they get that? Like, they're trapped in an existential nightmare?
Yeah, no.
No one will ever do well all the time.
Right. Except for J.J. Watt.
Well, yeah, because he can do it all.
How much juice do you think that guy's doing?
Whoa. How dare you? He's all natural. His goddamn shoulders are bigger than my body. Lied horizontally.
I mean, wouldn't you kind of be an idiot not to be juicing if you were like an NFL lineman, linebacker slash whatever, pretty much any position.
Yeah. I would take as many things as I could. Looks like it really hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a fun game.
Did you see that that rugby clip where the Tongan bear just trucked that guy and the guy just went completely limp?
I did see that. That was fantastic.
But I think it's funny. I mean, like football has way more concussions than rugby does. And clearly like pads are the problem at this point and helmets.
Yeah. Yeah. The idea that you can use this thing as a battering ram, and you won't get hurt.
Right.
Was not the best idea we ever had.
No. And I think at some point they're either going to have to, I really think the wrap rule is something that would help. And no one ever talks about this.
What's the wrap rule?
Well, like in rugby, you can't just go and spear somebody with your head and shoulder. Like in football, like some guy's coming out in the middle and you can just sort of make your body into a spear and just fly at him.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in rugby, like to tackle someone, you have to make an attempt to wrap them up and tackle them, like, you know, like a form tackle. If you don't at least make it look like you're attempting to make a form tackle, like that's a penalty.
And okay.
I feel like a lot of the injuries are usually when somebody's trying to spear somebody else.
I mean, I think you need to do an article. I wouldn't let my imaginary son play football.
Right. You don't think there's been enough of those yet?
Well, no. People, they talk about their actual son. Oh, you should do one. I wouldn't let my daughter play football. Even better.
Right. Well, then I'd get castigated.
Then I'd She's not street enough to play football.
No, I think other girls can play football, but my hypothetical daughter is just not street enough.
Period.
Right. I would let, you know, Fat Amy from Pitch Perfect play football.
Oh my God. They would murder you.
What's her name? Oh, Rebel Wilson. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was her deal at the VMAs, by the way? Did you watch?
I did not watch the VMAs. I did read Kanye's speech because I felt like I needed to know the content of that.
Mm-hmm. Which, how was it?
How was it?
How'd that go? I didn't read it.
It seemed kind of rambling.
Yeah. Weird. You know what I heard about? You know what I heard about Miley Cyrus?
No, she puts out.
I heard she fucks now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I heard she definitely fucks now. Isn't it weird? Like, I feel like she spent the last 5 years. I mean, how long does she need to keep convincing the world that she fucks now? Like, don't we know that she fucks now?
Do you think she does though? Really?
I don't know. She's putting it out there pretty hard.
She's throwing it around. She's slinging it. Would you say?
I think she would have to fuck just because, you know, she wouldn't want to welch on a bet that she's been making with the world for the last 5 years.
Don't want to be a hypocrite.
Yeah. Also, Liam Hemsworth. Do you think he's not gonna? You think he's going to be with the girl who's not giving it to him? Giving him that good?
You're saying he's just knocking the bottom out of that is what you're saying.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, I hear you. I keep hoping she'll go back to the Hannah Montana one. I really enjoyed that version of Miley. I like the duality of the character.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I think there's more meat on that bone and more marrow to be sucked as well from there.
Okay, that's very dirty. Yeah, see, I don't know what to do with the VMAs. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. There's like the beefs. There's so many beefs that I can't even keep up with. But then, so Rebel Wilson had a shirt that said, "Fuck the stripper police," when she gave out best hip-hop video. And I didn't watch it, so I don't even know what, like, I know she got a lot of think pieces written about her, about how that was sensitive to hashtag Black Lives Matter. And I'm not even, I don't know what the joke means. Like, I think they might be right, that probably was insensitive, but I don't actually know.
Oh, wait, I get it. It's like the policeman who strip, like the, right?
Oh.
Like the French. So maybe she's saying have sex with those people. Which honestly is pretty good message.
Oh, here's a quote from it. Wilson took the stage before declaring, "I know a lot of people have problems with the police, but I really hate the police strippers." And she then promptly ripped off the uniform, revealing a "fuck the stripper police" shirt. "I hired a police stripper for my grandmother's 80th, and he wouldn't even feel her up. I hate this injustice, hence the shirt."
You think that's insensitive, huh?
I don't. Like, again,
I saw that thing on CNN today. Said cop lives matter.
Yeah.
It's really broadening. I'm going to go with Bugsy life matter too.
You're not wrong.
Good job, Bugs.
I think it's one of those things where you sort of like, I didn't see the show, but I see her in a fuck the stripper police shirt. And I think that's sort of the amount of immersion that you have to have in order to write a really good think piece. Mm. Like you kind of just have to fly by it at 60,000 feet and sort of see what's going on down there. I don't like it. And here's why.
I mean, not all lives matter, right? Right. I mean, let's seriously, like,
right.
Some of them don't matter at all.
You know, like Kevin Connolly.
Yeah, like we could all agree, if Kevin Connolly didn't exist, it'd be fine.
Right.
His life has zero impact on the world. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. So
I don't want to say Josh Gad, but I'm confused.
I like Josh Gad.
Are you one of the ones that likes Josh Gad?
Yeah.
Why is he everywhere? Why can't I not get rid of Josh
Gad? I like him in that Frozen.
Okay.
I liked him in the Book of Mormon.
That's the only... You're just doing this to piss me off, because that's the only things that anybody ever mentions that they like Josh Gad in.
I enjoyed him in that show about the White House.
Okay.
I don't know what it's called right now. Maybe 1616 or something.
But I mean, at this point, it's like if anyone dies or if any biopic has a chubby character in it, Josh Gad's right there.
Josh Gad. Oh, he was good in the Steve Jobs. He was also good in the...
He was not good in the Steve Jobs.
In the internship with the, you know, the Vaughn and the Wilson.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
He was pretty good in that. Okay. He was the head of search for Google.
You're just pulling my leg now.
No, I'm being real with you, man.
Also, he looks nothing like Roger Ebert.
Is he playing Ebert?
Yeah, he's playing Ebert.
Well, I don't agree with that. He's got a jaw.
He's... All right, come on. Clean it up, buddy. No, but so I'm looking up pictures for this Josh Gad post that I'm going to write about. And I just find this perfect picture. It's Josh Gad, and he's got a suit on, and he's got his like his glasses and sideburns, and he's standing in front of like the NASDAQ opening bell for some reason. And
that's where you stand, I guess.
Everything that I see Josh Gad, I'm just like, why is Josh Gad here?
You don't like Josh Gad, then, is what you're saying.
No, I'm just always confused of why he's... whenever he's somewhere, I'm like, why the fuck... Like the Daily Show finale, why is Josh Gad there?
Oh, he was there, wasn't he? Was he on The Daily Show ever?
I guess he was a correspondent briefly.
Well, there you go.
Then when Robin Williams died, USA Today taps Josh Gad to write about it.
Really?
Yeah.
And then that one's odd. I'll give you.
Hold on. I got to read you my favorite Josh Gad thing. Oh, God. So this one, I guess he must be just like a USA Today like adjunct professor or whatever you call it. So this one's my favorite.
That's what they call it. USA Today adjunct professor.
Yeah. So, Mike Nichols died. Remember when Mike Nichols died?
I do.
That was a tragedy. So Josh Gad wrote a piece about how Mike Nichols has a good legacy and contrasted it with Bill Cosby and how he has a bad legacy.
Because Bill Cosby rapes people.
Right. Here, I'll read okay. I'll read some of it for you.
It's an interesting thought exercise here.
Mm-hmm. As I woke up and scrolled through my morning news alerts, I was startled by two articles. Always start an article about you reading other articles. I'm startled. That's the journalism. Well, journalism 101.
You're like this. Ah!
One was the very tragic and sudden loss of theater, film, and comedy icon Mike Nichols, who I had the pleasure of meeting twice during Book of Mormon.
So that he went like this. He went, aww. Okay.
The other article related to the loss of another giant entertainment icon synonymous with television history, except in this case, there was no death involved. Rather, it was the loss of a legacy so tarnished by a barrage of sadistic accusations that everything associated with the once great name of Cosby is forever tainted.
Well, I don't know if the accusations were sadistic. You know what I mean?
Look, you don't edit Josh Gad. He just does what
okay.
he does.
All right, fair
Dude,
enough.
He was in Book of Mormon.
I think they were accusations of sadistic behavior.
Mm-hmm. As an actor and an entertainer, I always strive for one thing that can live on long after my time here is done.
Rape. Oh, no.
Legacy.
Yeah, well, like it or not, Bill Cosby now has a legacy.
Each of us wants to be remembered, to strive for those performances or roles that can be revisited over and over again as Blu-ray discs become holograms, which children downloading frozen directly into a chip in their brains sometime around 2102.
Well, Josh Gad sure as shit can't write. I'm with you on there.
Like the greats before us, Chaplin, Jimmy Stewart, Steve McQueen, Brando. Each of us longs to leave something behind. For most of us, that is a pipe dream. But for a certain few, like Mike Nichols and Bill Cosby, they have the luxury of leaving this life with the knowledge that they will never be forgotten.
What is he talking about? Everyone will be forgotten.
Yet today, two legacies that have been all but assured their place in history are now on completely different trajectories.
What history? Like, what is he talking about?
Look, this is a classic contrast.
It's a contrivance, is what it is.
On the one hand, again, okay. always go on the one hand. If you don't have on the one hand somewhere
on
in
the
your
other.
Story, on the one hand, you have a man who, by all accounts, was generous, loving, and beyond respectful. On the other hand,
you got Mike Nichols. Hell.
On the other, you have a man who is not only being accused of raping multiple women, but doing it in a manner that is so dark and premeditated as to suggest a behavior usually reserved for serial sociopaths.
Well, as opposed to your normal, just lighthearted rape. Sure.
I mean, isn't a sociopath like just a sociopath? You can't be a multiple time sociopath. It's kind of.
That's right. It's true. It's binary. Yeah.
One's we gotta go. Yeah, one's. He's using the one form. That's good.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
He's Churchill now.
One of them is a tall black guy who used to sell me pudding pops.
One's filmography is guaranteed to be preserved, remembered, and studied for years to come. Whether
Mike Nichols. Hey-o!
Whether it's the monumental game changer that was The Graduate, the powerhouse bravura performance he was able to capture in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, or the comedic bliss that is The Birdcage.
Is it comedic bliss?
The other's entire canon, past, present, and future, is now at risk with TV Land canceling reruns of The Cosby Show, Netflix canceling his concert special, and NBC canceling his return to network television.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
One is being remembered today by dignitaries and titans, while the other is being called out by alleged victims and a ravenous media. As the lights dim on Broadway for the great Nichols, the alarm bells will seemingly only grow louder for Cosby.
How is this a column? This is so incoherent. Obama finishes his office, he's nothing like Adolf Hitler, who finished a different one in a bunker. You're like, what is going on? Yeah, those are two things that happened.
One of the more asinine, pointless collections of words that they put on here. I am sad today. I will miss going to the theater and seeing what Nichols did to reimagine masterpieces like Death of a Salesman and Uncle Vanya. I will similarly miss watching one of the greatest living comedians make his observations about life, whether it's family or pudding snacks. I will miss seeing what a man in his 80s can teach us all in films like Charlie Wilson's War, just as I will miss seeing a 77-year-old get back in front of the camera and make us all feel warm and cozy in his presence like we did in the Huxtable household.
Before he raped a bunch of people. Yeah.
We're getting to the kicker.
I know it's coming. I can feel it.
Of this, I am certain. I mean, you got to wonder what Josh Gad is certain about at this point. You know, he's thrown a lot of disparate facts.
He's adrift.
He's out on an island. Of this, I am certain. Today, we have lost two Titans, one involuntary and one whose presumable choices have cost him everything. None of us can be judge, jury, and executioner, but as the accusations continue to fly, and each one
sounds... I don't want to be judge, jury, and executioner.
And each one sounds resoundingly familiar, it is safe to say that Mr. Cosby's legacy is in as much jeopardy as Mr. Nichols is all but assured.
Those are not... That's not... Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
None of that is good. That makes me very mad.
There was only five comments on the bottom, and two of them were to correct his grammar.
I also imagine, like, Josh Gad sitting there, and the Cosby Show comes on, and he's like, this rapist, and just turns it or something. Like,
and he's like, Mike Nichols, holy shit, I met that guy.
Like, it's destroyed his life.
I don't know. I'm just, yeah.
Those two people have nothing to do with each other. Like,
what,
that.
What do you think the editor, do you think he wrote that and he's like, oh, I got to get that. And the editor's like, oh, dude, it's fucking Josh Gad. We got to run this.
We got to get this up there. But
and then he reads it and he's like,
this doesn't make any sense.
Wait a second. Hold on.
One guy is dead. And the other guy had a legacy.
His legacy is dead.
Well, technically.
One guy's legacy lives on in a good way, and the other guy's legacy might go in a bad direction.
But I'm saying, like, if you check out Google Trends or Google Search, Cosby has a greater legacy than Nichols, even still.
I mean, you got a point there.
In some ways, he cemented his legacy with this.
But the wrong kind of legacy.
Well, no, Josh Gad, if you remember, Josh Gadwords, we all want to be remembered.
Yeah.
We all long to leave something behind. And yeah, that's the wreckage of 50 lives for Bill Cosby, but something.
Yeah. Yeah. So I picked up this book while I was at the airport, speaking of interesting writing. And I always like the pull quotes on the back because sometimes you read them and you're like, that's a weird thing to put on a book jacket, you know?
Sure.
So I bought... The Boy Kings of Texas, which is pretty good. I think it won some sort of award. I heard about it on NPR.
Is it nonfiction?
Yeah, it's a memoir. Pretty good. First quote. This is the first quote on the back. Domingo Martinez writes like an angel. An avenging... wait, it gets better. An avenging angel who, instead of bringing wrath to a fallen world, redeems it by using beautiful prose to turn the most awful and gritty realities into transcendent gems. This is also a significant historical document, a first-person account that reveals one corner of America as it has seldom been seen. What a voice. What a story. What a testament to the transforming power of self-knowledge and the right choice of words.
Wow. Jesus.
Will you someday compare me to an avenging angel?
I will, but a kind avenging angel, one who likes to flick the bean. Like
right,
that.
But is that what I use? But I don't bring wrath to a fallen world. Instead, he brings joy to his own butt.
Wrathful oil into baby oil that he uses on my neck and shoulder region.
Okay. I like you going there.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about the beef you've got going with your girl, Shelly McShutterson?
The Finkstress?
Yeah, what's happening there? Why didn't we have her on tonight?
Oh, so yeah, I was going to talk about these other weeks. So, I don't know, like, Halpern was kind of gung-ho about it, and Matt Lieb didn't know who she was.
Perfect. Perfect. Right.
But was also gung-ho about it.
That sounds like an article, actually.
Right. So to me, here's why I wasn't interested. To me, it's kind of like, you know when Saturday Night Live is making fun of Sarah Palin?
You're talking about the creeper upper when Sarah Palin's on the show.
And then Sarah Palin comes up and she creeps up. And like that part to me is like not only not funny, like I just don't know why it's there.
Well, let me tell you why this is funny. It's because they're making fun of Sarah Palin.
Right.
But Sarah Palin is right behind her.
Okay. All right. You've explained it now.
Yeah. You didn't get that part, right? Yeah.
So I thought having Nikki Fink on, it would have been like a creeper upper. Like I don't. It's not like, you know, there's other weird characters that we've sort of made fun of, like Extremo the Clown, as a good example. He was this guy who had a weird van, and I put his picture on Film Drunk, and then he saw it, and then I was like, yeah, I want to have that guy on the Frotcast, because I don't know what that guy's going to say. I don't know who that guy is. There's things that I want to know about Extremo the Clown.
Okay.
With Nikki Fink, I don't know, like, there's not a lot of questions that I feel like I need to ask her. And,
well, don't bury the lead, but what was Extreme of the Clown? Was he good?
Yeah, I mean, I forget what Frotcast he was on. He sounded kind of scary, but he was also interesting. I don't know. I thought he was a fun character to have on.
He put out.
Bit of a whack packer, if you will, you know?
I feel like with Nikki Fink, you want to turn into the spin. Like, you're thinking, what value could I add to the conversation around Nikki Fink? I don't think that's the way you want to go. I think what you want to do is have her on to talk about maybe the Cincinnati Bengals preseason.
Yeah.
Something in that realm, right?
Well, but then so the email, I'll read you the email that she sent me.
Oh, dear God. Now we're talking.
Where is it?
Oh. Just search by Love You, Vince.
Yeah. Right. Where is it?
Oh, dear it Mr. Beans.
Okay. Someone just emailed me a link to what you dickwad said about me on my new Hollywood fiction website. I dare you to say those things while I'm on your show. Name the day and time and be afraid, very afraid, Nikki Fink.
Which that's the like, email she wrote?
Yeah, and so I was kind of like, I don't know if that's I don't know if that was, I can't tell if that's a shtick or
it's like, not super compelling.
Right, it's not compelling. It sort of just seems like she's Nikki Fink playing Nikki Fink in an email, and I'm more intrigued by how she came upon the show more than anything else.
Yeah, someone must have emailed her, one of her sources.
Yeah.
So what site is she doing now?
She's got that fiction site. It's like a subscription site where you can pay to read fiction about Hollywood.
Why would I do that?
I don't know. I guess that's the questions, that kind of questions that she would want me to ask. I don't know. It just seemed very adversarial, and I wasn't that interested in like having Nikki Fink like come tell off me and Justin Halpern.
Okay, I have a better idea. You say you're having Nikki Fink on, but get someone's like grandma or something to fuck with, right? And they'll be in on the joke and be like, okay, we have, because no one knows what Nikki Fick right. sounds like, right? So you'd be like, okay, we have Nikki Fick on. She'd be like, help me, you know, something like that. And yeah. You'd be like, what's going on? Like, tell me about your stories around Mike Nichols. And she'd be like, Bill Cosby, right? Like,
yeah. Someone took my slippers.
Yeah, that would be.
And I think like, the maid's been putting bugs in my peanut butter.
You'd be like, tell me some fiction stories around Hollywood.
Well, this one's about the dot coms, and also the time that I went out to the beach with Jan Stevenson, who owned the studio at the time.
Well, thanks, Nikki Fink, for coming on.
Oh, sure.
It's been a great show.
I gotta go back and churn my butter.
Why would your butter need to
got
be churned?
Got a couple cats in the oven.
What?
Gotta turn them over. I can hear them meowing at me.
That's not good.
Yeah. Woo. Anywho, what? I gotta go.
Nikki, are you there?
Oh, I had to go. Okay, I'm back. Who is it?
Nikki.
Who are you? Who are you calling here?
You said you were upset with us, Nikki.
Yeah, I don't like any of you. You're out on the porch all day and all night banging on the pots. It's not right. Some of us are trying to cook cats.
Oh, okay. This isn't right anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Feel bad.
I don't know. I don't know what I would. Here's the thing. If I was like really curious,
feel badly.
If I was really curious about, I feel like she sent me that email and it's sort of like trading on the her mystique, where she's like, oh, I'm so like reclusive. Like, it wouldn't it be a huge get if somebody had me on their show? And, yeah. I don't know. I just didn't really want to play ball.
I mean, I think it would have been an interesting conversation.
Yeah, maybe. It just seemed like it would be very negative and like adversarial, and I didn't really I kind of do the podcast like to have fun with my friends, and I don't really want to.
Like, you like to build bridges.
Yeah.
You're yeah. not about breaking it down.
Actually, I want to build forts. Like, I want to build a fort for me and my friends to keep out people that are mean to us.
Seems fair.
Yeah. I don't really want to bring somebody who, like, who says that she already calls me a dickwad. I don't want to bring her in the fort.
No.
We're talking about girls in there and making s'mores.
True.
Yeah. So that's my thoughts on that. In case anybody.
What do you make of this global warming?
You know, I think it's real. It was, I went to Big Sky Country over the weekend, as you know. Well, no sky because it's wildfires. Couldn't see the stars.
Well, that's not in the brochure.
Could barely see the sky.
Did you have room service and stuff?
I'm not sure if they have, like, they have, there's, they come and change your towels and stuff, and then you can take the free car down to the restaurant and get food whenever you want, but I'm not sure if they have room service.
Talking about the green Kia?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does everyone get a green Kia?
Everybody gets a green Kia. It's like a Jurassic Park. It's got a bear claw on the side.
Paws up.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
It sounds nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Jumper.
Oh, yeah, sure. You want me to come to your resort? I'll write about your resort.
You heard me and Brad broke up, right?
What? Yeah, so what really the hell? Is he going to give me the exclusive on what's going on with him?
I hope so.
Do you know? Did he tell you?
I'm not giving you crap, bro.
Yeah, I know. I heard Jeff Wells is all over him trying to get the scoop.
Wells is on it. Yeah, he's on it. Yeah, no more... Brad and Laramie on movies. 371 episodes in the can.
What? You can't do the podcast anymore?
We gave up the ghost, man.
No way.
Yep. We freaking cashed out our podcast stock.
I got to find out what's going on with that. Like, why would he do that?
You need to get the skinny, don't you?
Well, we're staying together for a whole week in Toronto. Well,
there you go. You'll have a chance. When is Toronto? That's next week,
next Wednesday, yeah.
You excited?
Sure. Yeah, buddy. I think I'm not excited for stuff like that because everybody else is so much more organized than I am. Like they have, like they're making spreadsheets about what their schedule is and crap like that. I don't know how to do that, man.
Why do you know what to go to?
I just sort of play it by ear that morning.
You just walk around, go see stuff?
Well, here's the deal. They all try to see like 4 movies a day. I don't want to ever see more than like 2, like 3 tops. 3 at the absolute most. I don't want to see more than 3 movies a day. That's like, because your brain, you can't review the 5th movie you saw that day. That's sort of, your brain's dead by that point.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you. I've seen 5 and reviewed 5. You can do it. You just do it very poorly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what, with very little.
With no sleep.
Expertise or, yeah, with no real enthusiasm or light in your eyes.
Right. Do you think that anybody would write a nice thing if I just like wrote a thing about how I'm quitting Film Drunk and I'm leaving and I gave no explanation? Do you think people would write a nice thing about me like Wells did for Brad?
I think so. Like you get lots of nice stuff written about you. I didn't know I had 4 people who liked me before we quit. I knew about 3 of them.
Was there an outpouring?
I've met them. Yeah, there were hundreds of comments.
That's great. Well, you know, you always have a place here.
Oh, aren't you sweet?
Especially if Brett and Brendan don't show up.
Especially if no one else will come. You definitely have a spot.
Yeah.
But one thing we got to do more of is compare 2 things that seemingly shouldn't be compared.
All right. Well, here I got 2 things that I think should be compared.
Okay.
So Aaron Sorkin.
Yes.
This is still in the maybe stage, but they're looking at, he's eyeing a Lucille Ball biopic with Cate Blanchett in the lead.
That would work.
And then, so my question is Aaron Sorkin, Aaron Sorkin's Lucille Ball movie starring Cate Blanchett, is that more or less Oscar Beatty than Eddie Redmayne in The Danish Girl?
I don't think anything could be more Oscar Beatty than Eddie Redmayne as a person.
Right.
Like as a thing, as an entity, right?
Do you just sort of watch, did you watch that trailer?
No, I didn't watch it. He's the final step towards Oscar, to solving the equation that is Oscar.
Right. And I think the perfect way to do that is like if you watch this trailer for The Danish Girl, and this is sort of like the key formula for the Oscars, it's like they give you a subject that you desperately want to dismiss and you'd like desperately want to be like, oh, fuck off. But then they make it like so painfully earnest and like about such a serious subject with like a capital S that like you feel like a huge dick if you say anything bad about it.
I never have those feelings.
Right. Says the guy who pussed out on writing the other negative review of 12 Years a Slave.
I wrote a positive review of it.
I know, and you didn't like it, did you? Be honest.
I didn't like watching it.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's not a good film.
Oh, fuck off. That's exactly what makes it a bad film.
Oh, okay. Sexual reassignment surgery. Ooh, I like that Alicia Vikander.
Yeah, I do too. She's real pretty. So wait.
He becomes the lady.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely winning this. Can he only play...
You know what I heard? I heard he acted. He got so into character that he may have permanently pouted his lips.
He can only play characters who must overcome huge obstacles, I think. That's pretty much who he is.
And characters that you kind of just want to Melvin really bad. Like, if you saw him, you're just like, I desperately want to Melvin this guy, but this is such a like a heartwarming story of triumph over adversity that I'm not allowed to.
Dude, you're not going to be able to say dick about that movie.
I know, that's what I mean. And if that movie
came to your house and stole all your shit, you couldn't call the police.
Like, I just saw the poster, and I'm like, oh, fuck off, because... It's got Eddie Redmayne. It's by the guy who did The King's Speech and Les Miserables. Like, you don't need to see a frame of that movie. You know exactly where that... Like, we've seen that movie. We know what's going to happen in that movie from start to finish. And I can already, like, write the reviews of that movie.
You can't write a negative review of that.
I know.
You know what you should do? Yeah. Again, you got to keep turning into the spin. This is how you're going to make Up Rocks and Film Drunk huge. You say... Danish girl, not masculine enough, right?
Uh-huh.
Eddie, the only thing read about Eddie Redmayne's portrayal is how scared he was or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I think Eddie Redmayne is too street to play the Danish girl.
Agreed. Also, how are they taking jobs from actual women now?
Well, it's not real. Well, it's...
Yeah, think about it.
Is that what's going on?
Mm-hmm. He didn't become a woman for the part, did he?
No.
So couldn't an actual transgender person have taken that part?
I mean, I suppose.
Do transgender
find me one that puts as many butts in the seats as Eddie Redmayne.
Well, any of them, sure. He puts zero butts in the seats. There's a think piece. Yeah. Why does Eddie Redmayne get to play a transgender when so many transgender actors need work? Boom.
You don't think that's already been written?
No, I don't think so. I think I came up with that myself. Mm-hmm. It's pretty smart.
Yeah, you are.
I liked him in Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah. What was his character's name?
It was like the really evil guy. It was Balaam Abzabrax.
Abraxas. Wow, did you really remember that?
No, I'm on his Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow.
You're like, wow, Larry's really smart. Oh.
I would never remember that his name was Abrasix. Abrax. Get down to Abrastax.
Yeah.
So you're not seeing the Transporter Refueled this week?
It was tonight. I missed it for you, bud.
Me too. Who is actually in that? Do you even know?
I'm gonna pass. I can look.
Who would have to be in that for you to see it? Is the question.
Vikander, Alicia Vikander.
I think I'd see it if it was Henry Cavill.
Yeah, it's Camille Delamare.
No, that's the director.
He directed Brick Mansions, which was shitty. Ed Skrine is the lead.
Oh yeah. This is Ed Skrine. Who the fuck is this guy?
There is not much out.
Have you seen who is that guy? What has that guy been in? He's got a.
I could pick him out if he walked into the room wearing an I'm an Ed Skrine t-shirt.
He's got a strangely shaped head too.
A Walk in the Woods. You gonna watch that?
I saw that. You didn't read my review? What are you doing with your life, dude?
Let me pop that up. What'd you give it?
I gave it a D minus.
Okay, pretty good.
It was, I have a hard time deciding. When I see a movie that's like clearly bad, it's like, how bad a grade do I give it?
Yeah.
And usually my criteria is like, if I've been looking at my watch and like wanted to leave halfway through and then was sad mm-hmm. that I didn't, like that's close to an F, you know?
Yeah, I've definitely looked like 15, 20 minutes in and thought, well, an hour has gone by at least, right?
Right.
If and I'm like, if oh I'm like, no.
If I'm angry that I'm still sitting there, I have anger towards the movie for having to sit through it. Like, I feel like that means it's below a C.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's in the D range. And this one. Yeah. So do you ever read any Bill Bryson?
I've read all the Bill Brysons, actually.
I haven't read them all. I've read like probably four or five. I like them a lot. I hadn't read A Walk in the Woods. And
that one's funny. Is Walk Across Australia funny?
That one's great. Yeah, I read that
I
one.
I didn't read his science one. I did not do that. I guess I shouldn't say I read them all. I read all his travel ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's a good writer.
I agree. And so his first film adaptation is
terrible.
Is the guy who directed He's Just Not That Into You and Dunstan Checks In is the guy who's directing the first Bill Bryson movie adaptation.
That's not good.
No. Also, Robert Redford, I think, is what, 70-something?
He's not young.
You got to be on this. So Robert Redford, he's 79.
I heard you typing around. Yeah, pretty young.
He's 79. Nick Nolte has got to be around that age. A Walk in the Woods was written in like 1998. And Bill Bryson is...
not 79.
He is 63 right now.
Yeah, so he'd have been in his 40s then.
Right. So he's got an 80-year-old guy playing him in this book, in this movie.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem entirely accurate.
Yeah, it's but you know, freaking he was in that one with the boat.
And have you heard Nick Nolte's voice recently?
It sounds like gravel, right?
It's like a parody of Nick Nolte. This is from 2 years ago.
Like I said, I enjoyed him in Blue Chips.
I forgot you can't hear the sound.
Is it good though?
Stone was a little out there. Yeah.
He just hit, yeah. He sounds like a hibernating bear that got woken up like 3 months in.
Oh, you saw No Escape too, huh?
Sure did. That one.
Is that a good one?
That one had potential, to be honest.
Wasn't good. No, don't lie to me.
It wasn't good, but it had. I liked the ideas.
C plus is pretty goddamn good for right now.
Yeah,
really. I mean, was. That's like an A++.
You never saw the Zac Efron freaking DJ movie. I never know what to call it. I know anytime I talk about EDM, I just know I'm like already horribly uncool. Is it electronica,
We Are Your Friends,
dance music, EDM?
Let's see. What did that get? At the old tomatometer. Before We Go got zero.
What was that?
Zero is not very many.
What was that movie?
Chris Evans, Alice Eve.
What? I like Alice Eve. I like Alice Eve so much that I have a GIF of her boobs in my bookmarks.
You have to send that to me. We Are Your Friends, 42%. You were on the outside looking in on that one.
You know, I mean, I didn't love it. I thought it was way better than I expected it was going to be. I still got a lot of guff from the readers about that one.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, and I get it. I saw the trailer, too. The trailer looked awful.
Well, they didn't see it anyway, so screw them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No one saw that movie. Alice Eve was really good in crap. Star Trek.
Oh, crap. I tried to send you that gif, and... I accidentally send it to one of like the spam bots that's trying to get me to accept their friend request on Skype.
They're gonna love that. Yeah. Like, fuck yeah. What movie is this from? Is this from Star Trek?
I don't know what that's from. It's a really good gift though.
It is really good.
Isn't it mesmerizing?
She seems like she'd have a lot to offer a young man.
Right. Doesn't she?
Yeah.
I like the way you phrase that.
Good for her.
Yeah. I think we got some email questions. You want to help me answer them?
More than anything.
Yeah. Actually, I think we only have one.
Okay. Just as good.
Hey, gents. So here's a relationship-ish question about remaining friends with your ex following a breakup. My ex and I ended the relationship about 6 months ago. We ended in a long-distance scenario and remain that way now, and will remain that way for the foreseeable future. We don't really have any mutual friends. Due to the distance, there isn't a chance that we'll really run into each other again unless something is otherwise planned. I've reached out to friends about this and other more experienced people with mixed results. Some say it's time to move on. Others say that just because you don't love each other romantically anymore, it would be unfortunate to throw away somebody you cared about and loved a lot. Importantly, the relationship between us did not end well. It ended horribly, actually, and it was horrible for the last 9 months of it. The longer we dated, the more we grew apart, and the less I started liking her as a person. I was forcing myself to be somebody who I wasn't so that I could cater to her needs, but neglected my own at the same time. I was a prick to her and treated her like shit. And all this was happening simultaneously with my job in the army just crumbling in front of me. Needless to say, it was a dark time that I did not enjoy. However, I get out of the army in 3 months and will be moving to Colorado from shithole Texas and will be spending my time traveling and fucking around. All the things I missed out on doing during my mid-20s. I'm very happy, blah, 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 blah. Is it worth trying to salvage a friendship?
Well, no. I mean...
Yeah, no, I don't... Yeah.
I thought he was going to ask, like, should I, you know, rekindle when I'm there for a minute or two?
Right, yeah, that's what I thought.
I thought that's where you were going with that. And what would you say to that?
I would also say no to that.
Why? You just worried that where it goes or something?
I don't know. I can't imagine having a bad breakup and then revisiting that person and having it go well. It's just not. It's not going to happen. Hmm. Has that ever happened? I don't think that's ever happened.
I mean, but just for the night?
Oh, well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Would that be worth it? I don't know. Because then you're playing with fire.
You are playing with fire, but sometimes to get food, you have to play with fire.
Here's the thing. I don't quite understand the question where it's like, should we try to be friends? Like now that we're like living long. No, you shouldn't. There's no, the answer is no. I mean, what would that even consist of? Like send her like a text on her birthday. And I think that's about as good as you're going to get. You know what I mean?
Go one step further and don't be friends with people you're actually dating.
Right. Well, it's like once you've dated someone, I don't know, unless you're in the same social circle, I don't really see that being someone that you're going to be best buds with.
Yeah.
Especially when you had a bad breakup with.
You text people on their birthday though, huh?
Or maybe, I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
What do you say?
Hey,
like just thinking of you?
I found this old shirt of yours. Remember that? Ha ha. Anyway, let's never talk again. That kind of thing.
I'd like to get one of those texts.
Yeah, I don't think what are you going to do? You're going to call her up and have like a heart-to-heart? No.
No, I don't think you are.
Just live your life and, you know, keep living. That's what Matthew McConaughey would say.
I agree with that. Yeah. Get busy living or get busy dying.
He wouldn't say that, but it's all right. It's not as good.
You get what I'm saying, though.
Not as good as the McConaughey thing, but I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Laramie, you got anything else you want to discuss before we get out of here?
You're talking content now.
Yeah, or just things you want people to know about you.
How's your jits going?
And how real you keep it?
I keep it crazy legit.
It's going good. I've been boxing more than I've been jitsing lately. Then I got sick at the end of the Montana trip, so I've taken about 5 to 6 days off. I'm itching to get back in there, but I'm also kind of sick, and I don't want to make myself more sick, which kind of sucks. Hmm. Fascinating, right?
So you've been boxing?
Yeah, yeah.
What for?
I mean, I've always like kickboxed and boxed every now and then.
Hmm.
It's fun.
All right. You watching that Mr. Robot?
I haven't watched that yet. I just finished The Nick. And I was about to start on the Oscar Isaac one.
Was The Nick good?
Yeah. Yeah, real good.
I heard that Narcos is kind of worth watching too.
Yeah,
a little bit.
That's on the list.
All right.
You know, there's too much TV. That's like...
too much content, bro.
Dude, we just mentioned like 20 hours of shows that we could...
Yeah, you could just watch right now.
Yeah. It's too much. Can you download those Netflix shows so I can watch them like on a long flight?
I don't think so. Sorry, not my system.
Yeah, well.
I'm not in charge of that.
Keep on keeping it real, dog.
I keep it so legit.
Dude,
sometimes
is there anything? Where can people find you? How do they be friends? How do they be your best friend?
Twitter.com/Laremy, L-A-R-E-M-Y. That's basically it. Other than that, I'm pretty off the grid these days.
Yeah.
I mean, should I do another podcast, you think? Bring one back?
Well, what happened to the El Sprott's cast?
Man, that dude travels too much.
He's here now.
He's here now, but he's leaving for Europe in like a minute.
If you start one, I'll come on and talk movies with you.
if I start a Sprott's cast, you'll come talk movies?
Well,
if I start a movie podcast?
Either one, I don't care. I'm not picky.
What if I start something called like the Frottcast?
Oh, yeah?
Dueling.
It's already trademarked, dog. Sorry.
Frottcast episode 1 coming at you.
Uh-oh. All right, well, let's get the hell out of here.
Where can people find you, Vince?
They can find me at Twitter/FilmDrunk, frottcast@gmail.com, 415-275-0030. We actually had a voicemail, a couple voicemails this week. One of them, I didn't hear the entire first part got cut off, and then the only part we got was, anyway, good work. Thanks, bye.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. That was from the 732. I don't know what part of the country that's from.
Nor do I.
But whoever you are in the 732, and we got your email, or we got your voicemail, and it didn't come through. All right, that's enough of this. Good night and eat the beans.